The following interviews and commentaries are for entertainment only. The views and opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
It's time again for Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio with the latest news and conversation related to firearms and your Second Amendment rights. Sponsored by Rogers Auto Repair, Arctic RV, Auto Trim Design, and Frontier Outfitters. And now, Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio.
Welcome, listeners. This is Shooter's Corner with Laura Berkowitz, KFAR Radio. Please call in throughout the hour to join us, 458-8255. 458 Talk, and tell us what's on your mind about firearms today. It's a great day in Fairbanks. The sun is shining right now, and it's 3 degrees this morning. Johan is running the board for us. Thank you, Johan. And what is on our agenda today? Glenn Miller is in the studio with me to talk about all things reloading, and I'll turn the program over to Glenn in a few minutes after some announcements. First, I want to remind our listeners that the Fairbanks Friends of NRA will hold its banquet on Saturday, May 22nd at the fairgrounds in the Borealis building. That's the big blue building. Go to the Friends of NRA Fairbanks Committee Facebook page, and you'll see their flyer with more information. If you have questions, please call and get a pencil ready. I'm going to give you these numbers twice. Troy Stone King at 907-378-6681. That's Troy Stone King, 907-378-6681. Or you can also call Larry Hannison, 907-699-8431. Larry at 907-699-8431. Now, the flyer on their Facebook page shows the ticket prices for the different levels for the May 22nd banquet. There will also be a pre-event raffle with some nice guns and some ammo that you can win. And that will be held May 6th if you don't have to be present to win. The raffle tickets are only $20 per ticket, and they're only going to sell 750 of them. So for more information on the raffle, call Troy again. It's 907-378-6681. And remember, folks, a percentage of the money collected by our local Friends of NRA chapter is redistributed to the NRA clubs and events here in Alaska. And every year I write a Friends of NRA grant for our AIMCOM Youth Rifle and Pistol Marksmanship program. And the funds we receive back for our program is a percentage of what all of you contribute to support the local Friends of NRA events. Now, another announcement, a gentleman in town would love to have a pre-1964 Winchester Model 70 chambered, either in .30-06 or .338 Winchester Magnum. If you have a pre-1964 Winchester Model 70 you would like to rehome, please call me on my cell phone. It's 907-590-2904, and I will get the two of you in contact. And sometime during the summer, I'll spend part of Shooter's Corner program talking about those pre-1964 Winchester Model 70s. Now, I have one more announcement before I turn the program over to Glenn. This is for Chuck Indereeden. Now, Chuck is one of the top-notch firearms instructors in Fairbanks. He is one of the best. He teaches the Alaska Concealed Handgun Permit Class 2. But more importantly, he's the only instructor I know of in Fairbanks who teaches higher-level defensive firearms courses. Now, Chuck teaches a defensive handgun level 1 course and a defensive handgun level 2 course. And I hope to have Chuck on Shooter's Corner repeatedly as a guest to share knowledge with you. He has 24 years in the U.S. Army Infantry. He has been an NRA instructor for over 14 years. And Chuck can correct me if I'm wrong on this, but I think Joe Nava taught Chuck's NRA pistol instructor class. Now, Chuck is currently a sergeant with the Alaska State Troopers. And I talk about Chuck's classes in my concealed handgun permit classes so that students have someone to go to for further higher level defensive training. And Chuck asked me to let our listeners know that he just had 3 students have to pull out of his defensive handgun level 1 class on April 24 and 25. So he has 3 openings right now, and this is an opportunity to sign up for Chuck's Defensive Handgun Level 1 class April 24 and 25. So call or email Chuck for more information, or you can call me at my cell number and I can get you two in contact. And let me give you Chuck's contact. It's Chuck Indereeden. His company is C4 Training Group. C as in cat and the number 4. C4 Training Group. His phone number is 844-966-4079. And his website is C4TrainingGroup.com. You can go on his website, see about his classes. He has some YouTube videos of some of the types of things he teaches his students. And don't worry about the ammunition, folks. Talk to Chuck if you think you might not have enough, and possibly the two of you could work through that situation. So if you do take one of Chuck's classes or sign up for this one on April 24th and 25th, call into the program after you've taken it and tell us what you think of it. Now, I'm going to turn the program over to Glenn Miller to talk about reloading topics, and he has a long list of interesting things to talk about. And listeners, if you have any reloading questions for Glenn, please call us at 458-8255-458-TALK. Glenn, it is wonderful to have you back in Fairbanks and back on Shooter's Corner on April Fool's Day. Now, before the program started, you were telling me that you drove in with a pickup truck full of cases of centerfire ammunition. So in which parking lots around town can our listeners find you to buy ammunition after the program?
Just listen for the shots, because I'll be shooting it all. I'm not selling any of it.
Oh, Glenn, it's really great you're back.
Yeah, thank you, Laura. And welcome back to the reloading bench on Shooter's Corner. It's been over 2 months since my last show. Sounds like the start of a conversation in the confessional box,
yes.
All right? So as Laura mentioned, if you have reloading questions on metallic cartridge reloading, please call in. Have a variety of topics to talk about today. And boy, the weather's chilly out there. This is a good day to be reloading and not outside shooting, right?
Yes, I agree.
I thought winter was about over, but it wants to hang on. So I'm going to start out with talking about the reloading classes that are available now. And we've conducted two reloading classes already, one in January, another one in March. The next class is on April 17th, which is full. And the last opportunity to take this class before next fall is June 12th, which we only have one open slot currently available. And these classes have really been a lot of fun. I'm enjoying teaching others proper techniques and to develop loads and ammunition safely. We have two highly qualified, experienced assistants, Don Logan and Dave Herring, help with these classes. And they're great. They assure that students get a lot of individualized attention, which is really necessary in this class. And this is an NRA-accredited class. It's 9 hours in length, and it combines classroom and practical exercises, which provide students the knowledge and hands-on experience to load rifle and handgun ammunition. And due to the significant hands-on learning experience in the class, we limit the class to 6 students, so there's lots of individualized attention with instructors. And this class uses modern reloading equipment such as presses, case trimmers, various powder scales, powder dispensers, measuring equipment, and other accessories that you'd find on a modern reloading bench. In this class, students will load both rifle and handgun ammunition from loading data found in modern manuals. So if you're interested, you can sign up for these classes at the AIMCOM website, and the address is www.aimcomm.org. And if you click on the registration tab at the top and scroll down to the date and class you're looking for, you can register or get more information. Or if you have any issues, signing up, or you have any questions, feel free to give me a call, and my number is 347-1396. And So let's last show I was talking about the civilian marksmanship program. They have a program where you can acquire pistols and rifles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Pistols meaning the 1911s. The deadline for this was March 4th, and I hope those that were interested applied and good luck in getting one. These are a great piece of history. And if you didn't get an application in, or you fail to get drawn for one, because remember, there's probably a lot more applicants than there are pistols, keep checking the CMP website for future sales, because this is a great opportunity, you know, if you're interested in
a
pistol.
Yeah, they're nice.
So I think we're about
ready to go to a break.
Yeah, and we'll be back right after these messages.
Arizona, where the bad men are, the only thing to guide you is an evening star. The roughest, toughest man by far was Ragtime Cowboy Joe.
Extend the life of your car or truck. Keep it in top shape with Rogers Auto Repair. Rogers is a complete auto shop. They do it all. Tune-ups to winterizing. Even engine and transmission rebuilds right on the premises. Depend on the people with experience and a sound reputation. They've been helping folks from the same location near the airport on Dale Road since they opened in 1967. Call family-owned and operated Rogers Auto Repair and be their next satisfied customer. Call 479-6665. Rogers Auto Repair.
Avoid unwanted adventures on the road. Before you leave home, wheel bearings to wiring and lights, make sure your trailer is safe with service from Arctic RV. And that goes for your motorhome and camper too. Bodywork to appliances, Arctic RV. So when the mood hits you, whenever that is, your toys are as ready to roll as you are. Book your appointment now. Be ready then. Alaska plays rough, rough it in style. Arctic RV, 30th and Fager, Fairbanks.
Hi, Steve with Auto Trim Design here. When I hear lights and sirens, I'm reminded of how fortunate we are to have our dedicated and heroic response personnel watching over us. Because many times someone's life is on the line. Chances are we've installed those lights and equipped that vehicle with sirens, comms, and cameras. I'm proud that my team is picked for the dependable installations they need, as it shows how dependable our work is at Auto Trim Design. So if you're looking for accessories to outfit your personal rig, depend on the best. Depend on Auto Trim Design, 2550 South Cushman.
Weather brought to you by Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing, offering 24-hour service from Salcha to Nanana and no mileage charge on callouts. The Bigfoot with the helping hand. Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing.
KFAR weather.
High of 19 today, under cloudy skies, with snow showers likely at times. Westerly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Snow showers likely again tonight. Lows level off around 1 below. Overcast. Cloudy tomorrow. Chance for snow 19. 6 to 12 inches of snow today through Saturday night. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood. Currently, it's 2 degrees above zero.
And now, back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM and 660 AM. Streaming live at KFARradio.com.
This is Shooter's Corner with Laura Berkowitz, KFAR Radio. I should say Laura Berkowitz and Glenn Miller. Call us at 458-8255-458-TALK and tell us what's on your mind about firearms or reloading today. This is Glenn's Reloading Bench program, and I'm going to turn the program back over to Glenn.
All right. So anybody that's talked to me about reloading or attends one of my classes knows I'm a big fan of using chronographs for testing your loads. And I use a variety of chronograph types, but my favorite right now is the Lab Radar. I've talked about chronographs on a previous show, and the Lab Radar continues to be one of my favorites. And the advantages of using a Lab Radar chronograph is you have no downrange equipment. The device actually sits next to you, so you don't have anything downrange that you have to wait for people to clear the line to go set up. You don't have the possibility of putting a bullet through your chronograph when it's downrange. So it's real nice having it sitting next to you. The other is that there's no lighting requirements. It works in bright sun or total darkness, and the accuracy is always good, where other chronographs, they're very light specific. And it provides projectile velocities from the muzzle all the way down to 100 yards. You can set it in increments. So if you want to read your projectile velocity at the muzzle and at 20 yards and 40 and 60 and 80, it'll pick that up. And you can get a really good idea of what's happening with that projectile as it's going downrange, not just the muzzle velocity. And then all of your data is saved on an SD card, which makes it really nice because you can bring that back and you can save all of your chrono data on spreadsheets. And, you know, it's really easy to organize and have all that information. I have lots of years worth of three-ring binders of handwritten notes on, you know, all my chronograph data for different loads, different guns. But this makes it really nice. It makes it very clean. So I love the lab radar. It works really good. The one downside to this unit is that it's triggered by sound pressure to record shot data. So if your gun is too quiet, such as if you're using a, you know, a suppressor, a silencer on the gun, the lab radar may not be triggered and it fails to record your shot data, or it could be triggered by other shots close to the unit, like if somebody's shooting next to you, and especially in indoor settings where you have a lot of echo. So, and if you're working up a subsonic load for a suppressed firearm, you know, for the ultimate stealth, it's important to know the projectile speeds to stay away from the supersonic territory and the sonic crack the bullet produces. But if the gun is too quiet, the lab radar can't hear it, and therefore it won't trigger the radar unit. You're not going to get the data. So to solve this problem, and for those of you that have a lab radar, there's a great accessory. It's called an inertia trigger unit. And the inertia trigger unit uses movement of the firearm instead of the radar unit to record data, you know, using the sound pressure. And it's really easy to use. It's inexpensive. It's only $35. It's sold by an outfit called JKL. And the inertia trigger unit attaches directly to your firearm using a Velcro adhesive deal, or it slides onto a Picatinny rail. So a lot of modern guns, you know, they have Picatinny already on it, handguns and rifle, and it just slides on. And then it uses an audio cord that plugs directly into the lab radar. And even if it doesn't have either one of these, you could just attach it with a zip tie. You know, any way to just firmly attach it to the firearm will work. And then when you plug the cord into the lab radar, it gives the cord's long enough where it gives you flexibility in placing the lab radar in a more convenient location than if you're using the sound pressure pickup, which is typically about 12 inches, you know, from the muzzle. So it gives you greater flexibility on placement, too. When you have this inertia trigger unit attached to the gun and the lab radar is active, be aware that any sudden movement of the gun will trigger the unit. So if you are using it in a, let's say, a semi-auto gun, you have it active, you put the magazine in and close the chamber, just that action could trigger it. Because that's how it works, is on inertia. It's a great addition to the lab radar for many reasons, and I highly recommend it as an accessory to expand the lab radar's usefulness. And I know you and I at one point we talked about maybe having a chronograph session available at the indoor range. You know, people that are interested in knowing, you know, how fast their projectiles are going for bullseye league or whatever the case may be. And to not have anything downrange, you know, the lab radar was probably a good option. Right. But because of the echoes that are going on in there with other people shooting, it would really wouldn't be a good application. But with this inertia trigger unit, it would work really well.
This sounds perfect.
Yeah, it's a great little accessory. It's very cheap. It works well. I have one. I use it on, especially when I'm developing loads for subsonic, you know, rifles and handguns, and it works really good. So there again, JKL inertia trigger unit, and you can find them on the website. Like I say, $35
wow.
works great.
That's a great tip. Thank you.
So let's talk a little bit about component shortages and prices. Everybody's experiencing this, and there's no need to tell anybody that there's a shortage of ammunition and components. But how we're dealing with it is the more important topic. Bullets and some powders, they're still showing up on the shelves. It's slow, but not in great quantity, but some are available. Primers, that's another story. Primers continue to be the most impossible thing to find and probably will be for quite some time. So, you know, what are reloaders doing? And some reloaders are, and I talked about this before, they're recharging or reloading old primers with various types of compounds. And I've stated before, this is just not a good idea and should be avoided for a variety of reasons. But some are substituting components. And while some substitutions are acceptable, like using Magnum or standard primers if allowable in the loading data for a particular powder you're loading, but other substitutions are really not advisable and can be very dangerous, like using small pistol primers in rifle cartridges or vice versa. Either of these substitutions can be really dangerous because the primers are different, even though the outer dimensions are the same. If you measure a pistol primer and a rifle primer small, exterior-wise, they're identical. So you can substitute them, but it's not a good idea to do that. Rifle primers normally contain a larger charge of ignition material designed to ignite large volumes of slow-burning rifle powder. And pistol primers are just the opposite. They're designed to ignite smaller quantities of fast-burning pistol powder. So swapping these can create either high-pressure spikes or improper ignition, which either way, it's not a desirable situation. And additionally, rifle and pistol primers also differ in the cup thickness and or hardness. Rifle primer cups are designed to contain much higher pressure spikes found in rifle cartridges. For example, the 9mm cartridge normally runs in the 30 to 35,000 PSI range. The typical modern rifle cartridge, like the 223 or 5.56, runs in the 50 to 55,000 PSI range, and some exceed and run well into over the 60,000 PSI range, or you know, twice the pressure of a 9mm. Even the 357 Magnum or 44 Magnum cartridge rarely reach the 40,000 PSI range. So the primers are designed that way. They're designed to handle that amount of pressure or not, depending on what kind it is. So pistol primers are designed to contain these lower pressure levels, and when they're subjected to the higher pressure levels found in rifle loads, so if you swap it, they actually can fail where the firing pin hits the primer and rupture, releasing high pressure gases backward and into the bolt face, normally flowing out around the bolt and through the firing pin hole. And you know, that's an area which your face is about 10 to 12 inches from.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, so it's really not a good situation. I mean, you know, I'm not a GQ model, but I like my face in its present configuration.
Yeah.
And releasing 60,000 PSI backwards towards it is something I don't want to do.
Right.
So using pistol primers and rifle cartridges, if you use them in a semi-auto action, it also can cause additional problems because you increase the likelihood of slam fires. Because when the cartridge goes into the chamber, you know, that firing pin does contact that primer due to the inertia when that round is chambered and that bolt stops. With the softer pistol primers, you know, you can have a problem with that.
Oh, yeah, you would. It would go off.
Yeah, you could have a discharge when you don't want it to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why the rifle primers are harder, they're thicker. One, to contain the pressure, but two, when they're used in a semi-automatic application like that, you know, you have less less likelihood that you're going to have a slam fire. So just not a good situation when you start swapping rifle and pistol primers.
Yeah, I didn't know that. That's
And I know it's frustrating when you can't find the stuff that you want on the shelves at the stores, and you go and you want primers and you and or powder or something, you can't find it. I know it's frustrating, but you know, don't put yourself or others at risk by substituting components blindly like this, because this happens, and it has happened, and the end result, you know, isn't good.
Yeah, yeah. No, thank you for telling us about that. I didn't ever think of that, that the softness in the different primers could be so dangerous.
Yeah, yeah.
So definitely no substitutes.
And, okay, so we'll continue this conversation. We come back from break.
Right around the corner.
Yep.
All right.
Radio station that's in full stereo. We are KFAR.
Fox News, I'm Rich Dennison. President Biden and Vice President Harris are meeting today with the administration's 16 cabinet heads.
The first full cabinet meeting comes as President Biden pitches a massive infrastructure plan. The spending would be offset by tax increases on corporations and wealthier Americans, something Republicans oppose.
Fox's Rachel Sutherland. Pfizer says its vaccine is effective against COVID-19 for at least 6 months with no serious safety concerns. A new study also shows the vaccine appears to work against a virus variant first reported in South Africa. No improvement in the nation's job market.
There were 719,000 new unemployment claims last week, an increase of 61,000 and more than forecast. Continuing claims, those still receiving benefits, declined in the latest report to 3.7 million.
Fox's Jenny Casola. America is listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
Stressing that no normal person would even do such a thing at this stage in the ongoing crisis, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention announced on Wednesday that, frankly, it was kind of embarrassing to get coronavirus this late in the pandemic. CDC Director Rochelle Walensky said, honestly, we're far past the point where it wouldn't be awkward and just sort of baffling for someone to contract COVID-19. She added that it might have made sense to get the coronavirus several months ago when more people were in hospitals or recovering at home, but that it really raised questions about where you were as a human being to be this far behind the curve. Walensky added that it was especially mortifying for an American to get coronavirus because the CDC had specifically asked them to not do that. And finally, blasting the critics of surging migrant detentions, President Joe Biden claimed that it was unfair to attack his administration over borders that former President James K. Polk was responsible for creating. Biden said, it's absurd, we just got here, and now we're being blamed for a lack of transparency around migrant detention, even though we obviously inherited this border from Polk. Biden attacked his critics for ignoring the clear fact that border crossing started 172 years before he took office.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
Hi, Steve with Auto Trim Design here. When I hear lights and sirens, I'm reminded of how fortunate we are to have our dedicated and heroic response personnel watching over us. Because many times, someone's life is on the line. Chances are we've installed those lights and equipped that vehicle with sirens, comms, and cameras. I'm proud that my team is picked for the dependable installations they need, as it shows how dependable our work is at Auto Trim Design. So if you're looking for accessories to outfit your personal rig, depend on the best. Depend on Auto Trim Design, 2550 South Cushman.
When you love to fish, you don't let a little bit of ice get in your way. Show your love. Enter the Frontier Outfitters Ice Fishing Photo Contest. You could win a $50 gift card every Friday. All you have to do is upload your favorite ice fishing photo to their Facebook page. Visit Frontier Outfitters for everything you need, from rods and tackle to augers and the right winter clothes. Enter Frontier Outfitters Ice Fishing Photo Contest now through April 16th. Frontier Outfitters, for your Alaskan lifestyle.
And now,
back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM and 660 AM. Streaming live at KFARradio.com.
This is Shooter's Corner with Laura Berkowitz, KFAR Radio. Please call in 458-8255, 458. Talk. Glenn Miller is with us today, and we call this the Glenn Miller Reloading Bench Program. All things reloading. If you have any questions at all, this is a good program to call in on. Glenn, I'm going to turn it back over to you.
All right. Thank you. I think everybody's out buying ammunition. I don't hear any callers calling in. So, so we were talking about components, swapping, and, oh, we got a caller.
Okay. Caller, this is Laura.
Hey, Laura, this is Ron. Hi, Glenn.
Hello there.
Hey, two things, one negative, one positive.
Okay.
We'll start with the negative and get it out of the way. On the reloading scene, just so everybody out there knows, Extreme Bullets, I believe they're out of Idaho, where I know a lot of the guys at the range I talk to are getting their projectiles. They are no longer shipping to Alaska.
Oh, is there a reason?
I assume it's their business model. At least that's what I was told when I called them. They whacked Alaska and Hawaii. Of course, Hawaii doesn't make much difference anyway with their gun policies. But And on the positive side, I recall, Glenn, that you talked about case cleaning methods here a few shows ago.
Yes, I did.
Yeah, my Dillon vibratory cleaner motor finally committed suicide after about 10-15 years. So I had to replace it, so I decided to go wet and went with Frankfurt's, I think they call it a platinum or something. And although the procedure is somewhat protracted and a little bit difficult, I suspect I've got a learning curve there to work with. But the results are nothing short of spectacular.
Yeah, I agree that the pin tumbling definitely does a much nicer job both inside and out. And, of course, there's nothing to wear out, and there's no dust to deal with. And, yeah, you do have – there is a little bit of a learning curve on how long to run it, how much soap to put in, and that, and, of course, separating the pins from your casings. But I – that's – pretty much my go-to cleaning method now. I still use the vibratory tumbler once in a while, but it, you know, not my preference. And depending on how old your Dillon is, sometimes you can get replacement motors, but I know I tried to find one. I actually took the motor apart and I rebuilt it. And actually it was my dad's Dillon, and it died. And yeah, we took the motor apart and actually fixed it. So if you still have it, we may be able to salvage it.
Okay, well, that's definitely good to know. I would also, in keeping with that wet tumbling in the pins, I would recommend as a very necessary accessory the little magnet that various people sell that picks up and then you can squeeze release it. Makes a big difference because I continue to find pins in really interesting places.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, the magnet is a must, and don't try to separate your brass and your pins on a carpeted surface because those pins will never come out of the carpet.
Fortunately, I've got a good room for working, so I don't have to worry about that. But I can see where that would be a monster of a task.
Yeah, that would be uncomfortable to walk without shoes.
All right, just want to give you a heads up.
Thank you so much. And we have another caller. Caller, you're on the line.
Yeah, I tried to get in last week, but I didn't manage to get in.
Okay.
I've got a Colt Trooper.
Yes.
That's been in storage forever. And I, the other day, took it out and looked at it.
Yeah.
And apparently the grease in the darn thing has made everything really stiff.
Oh.
And I was wondering what is a safe method for cleaning those old Colts because, you know, they got the good blue and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
And I you know, I thought, well, I'll just do this, that, or the other, but I'm afraid of getting the blue ink.
Yeah.
Well, any of your modern cleaning solutions, and there's a variety of them out there, they are safe for the bluing. But if it depends on if you're comfortable or not with with disassembling that revolver, you know, to get into the internals to remove whatever grease that's in there that is solidified and causing that problem, because it's probably going to be more than just an external wipe on this. You're probably going to have to do a little disassembly. And if you're not comfortable with that, then, you know, you may want to take it to a qualified gunsmith or someone that's familiar or comfortable with, you know, that disassembly and reassembly procedure.
Okay.
Yeah, I actually would recommend taking it to a gunsmith just because it's an older gun and it's precious. And that way, if there's any other damage or rust or anything going on in there, he would be able to tell. I use just my normal hobbies on my blued guns, and I'm very careful to wipe it off fairly quickly, but I haven't had a situation where I've actually had to soak anything for any length of time, which I think is what you're talking about.
Well, I made a living working on machine guns.
Okay.
And so I'm comfortable with taking things apart.
Okay.
I just was a little bit worried about the bluing on the old Colt, because I do know that
yeah,
we did do this once, so maybe 40, 50 years ago on a Colt, and this is about that vintage. And it didn't work out well.
Oh, okay. Do you know what you were using?
Well, no. My memory is not that good on 50 years ago.
You know what I would do? If you have time, just call the Colt factory and ask them, call their customer relations and ask them what they'd recommend for that.
Yeah.
I think that would be the best thing to do.
Sounds reasonable.
I have some old Colts, and I am very, very careful with them. I wipe the fingerprints off immediately. If I even look at them, I wipe the imaginary fingerprints off.
Well, this one was in storage for about a long time.
Yeah.
Longer than you've been alive.
Probably. And, you know, the solvents have changed so much over the years, so I would give them a call and see what they would recommend.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, all right. Sorry I couldn't help more. And we have another caller. You're on the line.
Is that me?
That's you. You're on the line with Glenn and Laura.
Hi, Glenn and Laura. I used to reload years ago, 70s, with what I would call a pocket reloader. It was a little box that had all the tools, and I got the components. I reloaded a lot of 357, 38, and that sort of thing when I was learning to shoot a pistol. And the ammo worked real well, and I probably did never load more than 100 rounds because I was doing everything by hand. Is that still a viable way of making bullets, or is that considered something, you know, historical rather than practical?
Well, it depends on how many rounds you're going to load. If you're only going to load a box or maybe two a year, then sure, that's still a viable way to do it and not spend a lot of money, because as we know, if you're a reloader and you do it for any length of time, you wind up with a quite a selection of equipment and tools, and pretty soon, you know, you have thousands of dollars tied up in equipment.
Right.
So that's a great way to load ammunition inexpensively, but it's very slow, as you know, and you know, you really wouldn't want to load more than a box or two, you know, at a time, or even in a year, before you'd say, the heck with this, I'm going to buy a real press. But they still sell that equipment, and it's still available, and there are people that still use it.
Right. For straight case, I'm thinking more just for straight case ammo, too, not, you know, neck down rifle bullets or anything like that. I only did straight case pistol, but I have a lot of that. It seems like it doesn't take up much room on the kitchen table.
Sure. Yeah, and the other advantage is you can take it with you. If you, you know, if you're going to a location that's remote and you can only take a few components and you want to be able to, you know, reload those casings a number of times, that's an option too.
Right. All right. Well, thank you.
You bet.
Thank you for calling.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
And you know the deal with Extreme Bullet, that's pretty disappointing that they won't ship to Alaska, because there are other bullet manufacturers. In fact, we dealt with this 20-30 years ago, where getting bullets up here were problematic because of the weight, and we'd always try to find vehicles that are coming up and people would haul bullets for us. And then all these bullet manufacturers realized that, hey, you know, there's a market up here, and they started using the USPS flat rate boxes.
Yeah.
And all of the other companies that I do business with, they ship in flat rate boxes.
Yeah.
And because it's no more cost to ship it to Fairbanks than it is to any other place. So if you talk to Extreme, maybe make that suggestion and see if we can change this.
Yeah, that's good. I'm not sure what they're.
And we're going to go to a commercial, and we'll be right back.
All right.
Extend the life of your car or truck. Keep it in top shape with Rogers Auto Repair. Rogers is a complete auto shop. They do it all. Tune-ups to winterizing. Even engine and transmission rebuilds right on the premises. Depend on the people with experience and a sound reputation. They've been helping folks from the same location near the airport on Dale Road since they opened in 1967. Call family-owned and operated Rogers Auto Repair and be their next satisfied customer. Call 479-6665. Rogers Auto Repair.
Avoid unwanted adventures on the road. Before you leave home, wheel bearings to wiring and lights, make sure your trailer is safe with service from Arctic RV. And that goes for your motorhome and camper too. Bodywork to appliances, Arctic RV. So when the mood hits you, whenever that is, your toys are as ready to roll as you are. Book your appointment now. Be ready then. Alaska plays rough, rough it in style. Arctic RV, 30th and Pegger, Fairbanks.
Hi, Steve with Auto Trim Design here. When I hear lights and sirens, I'm reminded of how fortunate we are to have our dedicated and heroic response personnel watching over us, because many times someone's life is on the line. Chances are we've installed those lights and equipped that vehicle with sirens, comms, and cameras. I'm proud that my team is picked for the dependable installations they need, as it shows how dependable our work is at Auto Trim Design. So if you're looking for accessories to outfit your personal rig, depend on the best. Depend on Auto Trim Design, 2550 South Cushman.
Weather brought to you by Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing, offering 24-hour service from Salcha to Nanana, and no mileage charge on callouts. The Bigfoot with the helping hand. Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing.
KFAR weather.
High of 19 today, under cloudy skies, with snow showers likely at times. Westerly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Snow showers likely again tonight. Lows level off around 1 below. Overcast. Cloudy tomorrow. Chance for snow 19. 6 to 12 inches of snow today through Saturday night. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood. Currently, it's 2 degrees above zero.
And now, back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM and 660 AM. Streaming live at KFARradio.com.
This is Shooter's Corner with Laura Berkowitz and Glenn Miller. KFAR Radio, please call in at 458-8255-458-TALK. Glenn is here to talk about reloading today, and so this is a good time to call with your reloading questions. And someone tell me I just didn't hear 6 to 12 inches of snow. Is that what I heard?
I refuse to hear that.
Okay. We have a caller. So, caller, you're on the air.
Hey, this is Dave.
Hi.
Question. Back in the 80s, I did some reloading back then. And, of course, now with the bullet crisis and everything, or bullet, it's not a crisis, it's a challenge, according to Biden. No. How long...
Come on, man.
You know that thing. How long is reloaded ammo and factory ammo? I look at one of my boxes, a 300 Win Mag. It's one of them yellow and green boxes. highly popular brand, and had a Long's drugstore label on it. Long's Drugs went out of business a long time ago. I didn't think that as a joke. But anyhow, it's a 300-win mag, and it was $12 a box. How long is that ammo good for? And someone told me, well, stick it in the gun. If it goes bang, it's good. And if it don't go bang, it's not good. I go, well, what should I expect for life shelf life?
Well, I guess a lot of it depends on how it was stored. So if it was kept in a cool, dry environment, that ammunition will still be just fine. If it was submerged or in a flood, or if it was kept in a furnace room where it was continuously 100 degrees, then I would say no, pull it apart, save the casings, and reuse the components. There's military ammunition out there that was manufactured in the 40s, and we're still shooting that in machine guns and things, and works just fine. So really, a lot of it depends on how it was stored, how it was cared for over the years. So just because it's 40 years old, it doesn't necessarily mean that there's anything wrong with it.
All right, well, that answers the question.
Thank you.
300-win mag at $12 a box. That's what you call the good old days.
You might want to save that and sell it as an antique. I don't know. You want to shoot it. That's vintage. Thank you so much.
For the show.
Okay, we have another caller.
Hi.
Yes.
I want to address that aged ammunition thing there.
Okay.
If it was, you know, pretty much most ammo keeps, you know, one man's lifetime easily. But if you're looking for something, you know, an instance where the ammo doesn't keep well, Remington made a match primer back in the 60s. And that was the best primer I ever shot. It gave me the smallest groups. It was red in color, you know, copper colored. And I hoarded a box of those primers for 30 years, and then I started using them in an AR. And I was getting the funniest results. I thought something was wrong with a gun. It was, you know, the way the AR goes off, it's kind of hard to tell what happens when you fire, you know, but what it turns out is those copper-colored Remington primers, they got slow. And there's still ammo around that's got those copper-colored primers. I bought some .222 Magnum ammo a while ago, and it had the copper-colored primers. Well, I knew what was going to happen. I got click bangs out of those. But that's something to look out for. Those red small rifle primers by Remington, they did not age very well. I don't know of anything else that didn't age well. I'm still using primers out of wooden boxes. That I still have a few, and they always go, you know, like Winchester, Remington, and any other brand that might be packed up in the wooden tray boxes. They're still good, but those red Remington primers did not age very well. So it's something to keep in mind. I wouldn't use them anymore. And if I had a good deal on some ammo that had those primers, I'd still buy it, and I'd just tear it apart and get rid of those primers. But that's the only ones I know of. But I do know that they go click bang at this time. Pretty soon they probably won't go bang at all. But anyway, I thought I'd throw that out there for you.
Thank you. That's good information.
Yeah, thanks for that info. And the older it gets, obviously the less reliability that you can expect. And you know, when I talked about, you know, we're still shooting some ammo that was manufactured in the 40s. We get that once in a while, you know, we'll have misfires. And so, you know, if you have something of that age, like those 300 Win, you know, mag shells that are 40 or 50 years old, you know, if they've been stored well, they will probably still go bang. I don't know if I would rely on those to go on my ultimate moose hunting trip or, you know, bear trip. I would probably buy new ammunition for that. But if I was using it to sight in the rifle or just, you know, general shooting, I wouldn't have any problem with that.
Okay, well, I just wanted to throw that out about those Remington small rifle primers. I don't know of any other primer that had that problem, but I know those red colored, that they were the best primers when they were made, but they're They're not the best primers anymore. Anyway, that's all I wanted to say.
Thank you.
All right, all right.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you. And I wanted to tell the gentleman who called in about the bluing on the colt. I'm going to make some inquiries for you, and if I can get any information, I'll report back next week. I have some people to ask. I don't know if they'll be committal about what to use on someone else's gun, but I'll do my best for you. Okay, Glenn?
So we were talking about substituting components, and so if you're going to substitute, let's say, bullets, and I know this happens too, you can't find the bullets that you've been loading, and you need to buy something different, just remember that different bullets, even of the same weight, will react different due to a variety of potential differences like profiles and length, the jacket types, hardnesses. There's so many different types of bullet compositions available to the reloader today that you really have to be mindful of that. There's lead bullets, there's Moly high-tech coated, there's plated bullets, there's frangible bullets, just a standard lead with a copper jacket, and now, of course, these solid copper bullets have become very popular. These monometal copper alloy bullets. There's so many different, compositions, and they all have different hardnesses. And so you can't just use one bullet weight for a certain powder charge and just assume that's going to be correct, because the different hardnesses and the resistance that it provides, going into the rifling and through the rifling, will vary your pressure readings in that particular rifle. So always, if you're going to substitute components, just refer back to the loading manual and try to find the particular type of bullet, not just the weight of the bullet, because that's becoming more important as we get so many different types of materials out there. And just like ammunition costs, the cost of powder is really going up. The powders that I've found here in town, I noticed that, $40 a pound for powder now isn't out of reach. Yeah. And just recently I saw some 8-pound jugs of Accurate 2230, and they were $295. So, and that's really shocking.
Yeah.
Considering what they were just 3 or 4 years ago. So don't have sticker shock when you see these things, because I think that's the new,
Yeah. Let me ask you, is that the wholesale price going up, or is that the end vendor marking them up in the stores?
Talking to the vendor, they said that the distributors and the manufacturers are saying these are the price increases that they're seeing, and they're going to have to raise prices.
Right. Okay.
But I just looked at a recent catalog from Natchez Shooter Supply, and that same jug of Accurate 2230, they had it listed for $187.
Okay.
So I don't know. I don't know what's going on. It seems like it's all over the place right now. And that's unfortunate. I wish I could say that was an April Fool's joke, but it's not.
But it's not, no.
Yeah. So anyway, when you go shopping for powder, expect to see some higher prices.
Yeah, stop at the bank first.
Yeah. So another thing I wanted to talk about, this was kind of a safety thing. I wanted to bring up the fact of swapping cartridges. This seems to be happening a lot more. People bring in various firearms to the range and getting the wrong ammunition in the gun, and it can, especially with these AR platforms like the 300 blackout cartridge, that uses a standard 223 magazine. It'll actually, feed into a gun chambered for 5.56 with a little assistance with the forward assist, and the results can be disastrous. So, I received a bulletin from the Sporting Arms and Ammunition Manufacturers Institute, and they had. It's a 16-page document on all of the various caliber swaps that could occur.
Oh.
It is crazy how many different, you know, swaps could occur and actually chamber. And, of course, you know, it's going to blow the gun up. So just be aware of that. I mean, we've always known that, you know, like in a 12-gauge shotgun, you know, you could accidentally put a 20-gauge shell in there and, you know, put a 12-gauge behind it, and that's disastrous. And that, actually, that's why the reason that they've always made 20-gauge shells yellow. They've reserved that shell color for 20-gauge to try to prevent that from happening. But
is there any way people can get that off the Internet?
I believe so. Yeah, it's on their website, the Sporting Arms and Ammunition Manufacturers Institute technical data sheet.
Okay, and that's the SAMI regular. Yes. SAMI, if you're familiar with that abbreviation.
And I think that's all the time we have for today.
Thank you, Glenn.
You're on KFAR Radio, brought to you by Rogers Auto Repair, Arctic RV, Auto Trim Design, and Frontier Outfitters. To listen back to this or past episodes of Shooter's Corner, go to KFARradio.com and click on the archives page. For more Shooter's Corner on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.